Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. What you're about to listen to is an episode of The Next Step with Father Vazquez. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course the neophyte, those who are searching for truths in ancient orthodoxy. These broadcasts are available every week, free of charge, either as a podcast on Apple iTunes or on the internet at epostle.net, Apostolic Evangelism for an Electronic World. Whether you're listening on CD, over the internet, or on your MP3 player, we invite you to sit back, turn up the volume, and get ready to take the next step.
Welcome to The Next Step. Hey, this is Father Vazquez, welcoming you back to The Next Step, a podcast dedicated to looking at life, inspecting the very fabric of our being, and doing it all through the lens of ancient Armenian Orthodoxy. The Next Step is part of the expanding vision of the In His Shoes mission and is brought to you by the good folks at the Apostles' Net, Apostolic Evangelism for an expanding and electronic universe. So if you're ready, let's take the next step. So good to have you back on board with us as we begin the second year of our podcast. And we're excited today. We've got everybody joining us, of course, here in the studio. We've got Susie, our producer, Ken up in the booth working the engineering portion of this podcast, and Ani with her bubbles. And this is me, Father Vazquez, excited that we're joining you, too, as we walk together as we take those next steps. And we've got a great podcast for you today as we begin this second year of podcasting. It's a time for reflection, of course, but also a time appropriately to take the next step. Like, what do we do next? Where do we go from here? And we've got so many things going on in the world and some tragedies that are really shaking us up, whether it's in Korea, whether it's in Iran and the unrest, the political unrest, and some of the lighter things that are taking place in the world, like who's the most gorgeous bachelor, as if that issue is on par with everything else we talk about, especially these issues of global consequence. And actually, you know what? Maybe they are. Maybe they are. Maybe there is a fabric that is woven together with a string going through it that does connect and does tie everything, so that what we do talk about, what we do dream about, and what we do experience and live really is united in this whole plan called life. And that's what the next step is all about. It's being able to look at that life through the lens of, well, what we call Armenian Orthodoxy. Armadoxy, for short. It's a way of just putting it all together, a different perspective on life. And I hope you enjoy it. I know by the reaction we're getting, it's something new. It's something novel. And I hope that we can keep it fresh. We can keep it new as we begin this second year. Hey, listen, before we start today's podcast, which I promise will be one of a collective, many, many topics. We'll be talking about Iran, North Korea, about Obama, Sarah Palin, and on top of it, we're going to get into some great stories coming from the early centuries. Two women in particular named Haripsima and Gayane. How do these people all mix? How do they meet? And at what point do they meet? Well, you just have to wait. I promise it's going to be a good one. Let's kick it off today, though, with a great song. Here we go.
I sit beside the dock beneath the mire, cold, gray, dusty day, the morning lake drinks up the sky. Kathmandu, I'll soon be seeing you and your strange, bewildering time will hold me down. Thank you. some broken wood. We'll start a fire white, warm like the dawn, and help me see old Satan's tree. Kathmandu, I'll soon be touching you and your strange, bewildering time will hold me down. Lock up the cabin, slow night, treat me right until I go. Be nice to know. Kathmandu, I'll soon be seeing you, and your strange, bewildering time will keep me home.
Cat Stevens, of course, from the Monabon Jackon album called Kathmandu. You know, we've had a very unusual week this week. It has been a difficult one. We've had graduations on local levels, yet on the global scale, it just doesn't seem like anyone's graduating. It seems like everyone's going back in time. Times when wars were the only way that people can settle their differences. Isn't that kind of odd? Isn't that kind of like de-evolving? Like going backwards? Like, wouldn't you think at some point humankind would evolve to a point where we wouldn't need wars to solve our disputes? But of course, you know, you look at something like Star Wars, which tells us what the human condition is going to be like in the future. And of course, it's just all about bombing and destroying other people before they bomb and destroy you. And it's certainly unnerving when you see it on a global scale, when you see it happening all around you. Look what's going on in Iran. I mean, this week really was something, because every news item that came out from across the globe was truly frightening. There's no other word. It builds up apprehension, anxiety, and fear in all of us, because there is what? An uncertainty. And I want you to think about that for a moment, because these are themes that we want to talk about today. The uncertainty that gives way to fear in our lives. You and I have fear because of uncertainty, because not knowing what the future holds. Everyone goes through that. When you don't know something, think about just going into a room. If you know what's on the other side of a door, if you know it's your kitchen, you know it's your bedroom, you know that there are loving people over there, you're walking into an environment that is filled with people, with family, you're relaxed, right? Unless you don't get along with family. But you're relaxed, right? But the minute you think about what can be on the other side, not knowing what's in that other room, that's when your fear, that's when your anxiety is heightened, not knowing what tomorrow brings. And certainly we all go through this. And on a grander scale, I mean, certainly in our relationships, we have those fears and those anxieties, not knowing what tomorrow brings. But think about it on the global scale. When we look at countries such as Iran, where everything has collapsed now because of discrepancies inside of the voting process. And you've got people coming to the streets and saying, foul, you know, we're protesting what's going on over here. And you have that fear that, how will this escalate? Well, go over to North Korea and you look at what's happened in North Korea in the last few days, in the last few weeks, months, and this saber rattling, talking about nuclear weapons and launching nuclear weapons, testing nuclear weapons. I mean, the fear is what? It's a valid fear. It's a fear that you and I have to have, because that fear is what's going to push us to really seek peace. You have to be concerned with what's going on over there, because it is unchecked and uncertain. Okay? When there's no laws, when there is chaos, there is that uncertainty. And certainly when you talk about nuclear weapons, you're talking about the H word, Holocaust. That's something we're not talking about yet, but it's certainly on the horizon when you're talking about nuclear weapons. Because you see, the whole strategy of nuclear war is what? It's that you put people into check positions. They're in check. They're not going to launch a strike against you because they have the fear. The only reason that they are not going to strike you is because they have this fear that you will have enough time to press the button to strike back at them. So there's this whole strategy of nuclear war that's built on this fear of one another. And so we only fortify what we've learned from age one, that might is right. Whoever's more powerful, that's the person. Whoever's stronger, that's the person who's going to win in the end. And tragically, this is something, like I said, we keep fortifying this, we reinforce this, and say that, yes, that's the way the world works. And we learn this early in life, don't we? When the first time a friend takes a toy away from us, and if that friend is a little bit stronger and is able to pin us down, we've lost. And we realize that the stronger person wins. And we go on through life understanding this, and then when we reach adulthood, maturity, we see that the rest of the world works like this too. Who has the bigger army? Who has the bigger arsenal? Now, think about this for a moment, because when we look at what's going on in the world, certainly these situations, whether in Iran or Korea, or President Obama, who was addressing the Middle East in Cairo the other day, made so many different gestures toward peace, toward resolving situations that have plagued the Middle East for how many decades, if not centuries. And then you put them next to some of the more, let's say, simplistic news stories of the day, like who is the most gorgeous bachelor? Who is the sexiest of them all? Remember, you look in the mirror and you go, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? And that poor, poor old witch, she could never be as pretty as Snow White. Or was it Sleeping Beauty? Yes, it was Sleeping Beauty. Snow White had those seven dwarfs. What cute people they were. Well, what am I saying? Yes, that's all it is. It's fairy tale. There's an element in our news that gets thrown at us with beauty contests, with celebrities that really are just fairy tales, glorified fairy tales. They're no different than Sleeping Beauty or Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. They're people that are out there. And these people somehow consume our life. These celebrities, and there are channels, e-channels, TMZ, XYZ, ABC, I don't know what they are, but they are all consuming for a lot of people, and rightly so. The Lakers win, and you know why that's important? I like these kind of games, because it gets us away from thinking about that uncertainty and that fear.
I'm trying to think, but nothing happens.
You know, it's somebody else's problem that we could pry into. It's kind of nice. It's kind of nice. It's an escapism. And what many times I've referred to as the drug addiction. It's a drug addiction. You know, last April when I was talking at many of the campuses about genocide, April is Genocide Month, and I do a tour of many of the campuses and talk to young people. At the end of each of my lectures, I conclude it by saying, you know, get off of the drugs.
I'm trying to think, but nothing happens.
The biggest problem we have in America is a drug addiction. And of course, those young people look at me like as if I'm talking about smoking something or taking some pills. And then I qualify it by saying, you know, the biggest drug addiction that we have is this nonsense that is getting fed to us. Like, who cares who Paris Hilton is sleeping with today? Who cares what the Kardashians are up to? So what, they're Armenian, you know? I mean, we go through this whole experience in America of being concerned about things that really will not change your life. There's a few people getting rich. There's a few people making some money. And the rest of us, as if taking the opium, we're just following along with our tongues hanging out, with saliva falling down from our mouths and saying, wow, give me more.
I'm trying to think, but nothing happens.
And certainly they will give you more because there's money in it. But those things are ridiculous. They're silly. And if you could take them for their silly value, good for you. But the minute people start taking them seriously, which many people do, believe it or not, people do. And once you take these things seriously, that's when we are in that drug addiction. Like, I'm so glad about the Lakers win. You know, that's like a pride that you have within your city, within a team. And then you go out there and you see people destroying property. Why? And you know, it comes down to moving a ball from this side of the court to the other side and back and forth and realizing somebody's going to make some points. That's it. A relatively small number of people are going to make some big bucks. Most people are going to see the points, but that's it. Enjoy it. Relax. Take a breath. Get a life. That's it. Because there's really some serious things going on. In the world today, there's these issues going on in Iran, North Korea, Obama coming from the Middle East. Sarah Palin and her daughter made the news and David Letterman had insulted the daughter by making some rude comments about her, and it turned out that she's a minor, and this escalated, Palin calling David Letterman some disgusting and describing his character as being disgusting for waging this kind of attack on her daughter, and rightly so. Any mother, any father would certainly put their feathers back and protect their children. And David Letterman came back with a few other comments and then finally conceded that it was just in poor taste and apologized. And this made the news. Now, why do I say this all? Because what I described earlier, the uncertainty and the fears that we have in our life are based really on these kind of words. When you look at it, it's all of these words that collectively come together and cause the big problems. Think about that for a moment. The words, the simple building blocks of hatred, of disrespect, are what cause the fears that we have in our lives. The Holocaust Museum in Washington. A couple weeks ago, some guy walks in there and he starts shooting, kills a security guard. And because it got to that point, it was brought to our attention. Because it reached that point, we heard about it. But certainly it began many years ago because this man who walked in there was a white supremacist and had posted, had written, and had expressed himself with this kind of hateful language. And the only reason why we found out about it is because that hateful language had now evolved, had gone that next step and taken on a physical manifestation. It had killed somebody. And I'm challenging you to look at your life and you realize that all of the problems and all of the difficulties that we have in our lives today begin with simple thoughts and simple words. So what's really necessary it is to go and attack those words. Because those words are the expressions that evolve and turn into these big tragedies. So when it comes to hate crimes, it's very important not to make a distinction or not to side with certain hate crimes. They're all bad. They are all manifestations of evil. Look what happened at the Holocaust Museum, and exactly at the same time something was taking place on the other coast in Los Angeles. It's with a radio station called KFI. In fact, their slogan is more stimulating conversation because it is shock radio. I mean, you got a few shock jocks, they call them. They get on and they throw out a few ethnic slurs here. They criticize someone there. And then next thing you know, you got people riled up and excited about stuff. And then at the end of it, you realize that, hey, it's just a show. These people are making money. These people have learned how to entertain by abuse. And certainly one of these shock radio personalities is named Bill Handel. He goes on radio a few weeks ago, and an issue takes place. Actually, during a late morning segment of the show, Bill Handel made an offhand comment to get rid of the Armenians, as well as other groups. And as a humorous solution to the cost of health care in America. A local listener, his name Greg Garabedian, heard the comment and wrote to the station to express his concern and his disappointment with the remark. However, in responding to the letter on the air the following day, the situation was made worse when a colleague of Bill Handel of the Shock Jock, her name Laura Hermanson, said, "What the Turks started, Bill Handel, the shock jock, will finish." And the statement referenced, of course, the Armenian genocide, and it has outraged the Armenian community. But what I'm saying, the tragedy of it is only the Armenian community. Nobody got involved in this one. And you got to realize that what happened in Washington was no different from what happened over here. It's the same coin, just the other side. It's the same hatred evolved, pushed to the point where it turns into this means of destruction. Now, the KFI incident, it did get resolved. Fortunately, the Armenian National Committee got involved. Some Armenians made their voice heard. There was some letters written, some calls made, and KFI eventually did issue an apology. Bill Handel issued an apology. Great. This is great. What it shows is that there is power still among the people. It's what we're seeing now in Iran. People protesting. Why? Because there is power in the people. And it goes to show that really, if people got together and really wanted to make a difference, they can. It just means that we need to focus in on what is important. Not let these words, these war of words, turn into war of weapons, war of bombs, of arsenals. And certainly we can do that. That's where God has given us this power to reason, has given us this knowledge, and has given, in that power of reason, this idea of going against the illogic. Remember a few minutes ago we talked about the fear that we have, the fear of the unknown. Well, what is that? It's the illogical of the chaos that you see out there. There's a fear of that chaos. But once you can put it in order, once you can get a handle on it, and look at it logically, you start realizing that it's just an education process. Once you start understanding it, you no longer fear it. Much like fire, the caveman feared fire. When he saw a forest on fire, the lightning struck the forest and a tree fell down and there was fire there. He feared it because he didn't understand what it was. He thought that the clouds came together, something from above came there and wanted this destruction. Until throughout the centuries, through the millennium, people were able to harness that energy and realize that fire is not something to be feared, but something that can be used constructively, something that can heat our food, prepare our food, and be used in a positive manner. And once we realize we can do this, what happens? We have control of it. We can stick it in our pocket. The little lighter, 99 cents, stick it in your pocket. You've controlled fire, the unknown. Now imagine if you could stick in your pocket the tool that you need, that is all around you, that can bring about peace in your life and in the world. You have it, and you can stick it in your pocket and carry it with you. That's what we're going to explore as we come back right after Bubbles. We're going to be talking about two incredible ladies, Haripsime and Gayane. But first, Ani's going to take us on this week's Bubble Venture. It's from, of all people, the same people that created Peanuts. Hey, Ken, can you do something with that?
The following is the philosophy of Charles Schulz, the creator of the Peanuts comic strip. Just think about the following question. Name the five wealthiest people in the world. Can you name the five last Heisman Trophy winners? Name the last five winners of the Miss America contest. Or the 10 people who have won the Nobel or Pulitzer Prize. Can you name the last half dozen Academy Award winners for Best Actor and Actress? Or the last decade's worth of World Series winners? Can you answer these questions? The point is, none of us remember the headliners of yesterday. These are no second-rate achievers. They are the best in their fields. But the applause dies, awards tarnish, achievements are forgotten, accolades and certificates are buried with their owners. Here's another test. See how well you do on this one. List a few teachers who aided your journey through school. Name three friends who have helped you through a difficult time. Name five people who have taught you something worthwhile. Think of a few people who have made you feel appreciated and special. Think of five people you enjoy spending time with. Was that easier? The people who make a difference in your life are not the ones with the most credentials, the most money, or the most awards. They're the ones that care. This has been your spiritual bubble. May it float on the wind to heaven.
Well, thank you, Ani, and thank you, Ken, for that nice little interlude, that little change of musical pace. And I appreciate that. Very appropriate, of course. Anyway, thank you, Ani, because today's story was just so appropriate about who's influential, who's important in our lives, who's made a difference in the way we think and the way we structure our relationships. Certainly not the people that everybody else tells us, but it's people that have actually touched us and have been inspirational. I want to talk about two people that have been very inspirational in my life. They are two women who have been separated from us by about 1,700 years, but for some reason I feel very close to them, close to their story. And it keeps coming back to me, especially this time of year, because the Armenian Church, on the Armenian Church calendar, Haripsime and Gayane, these two feasts, are celebrated right around June time. And they are the prelude, let's say, to the feast of Saint Etchmiadzin, Holy Etchmiadzin, which we just celebrated. Now, if you ever get a chance to go to the city of Etchmiadzin, Varshabad, it's right in Armenia. And if you ever get a chance to go to the holy city, and I use that term exactly the way it's meant, it is a holy city on par with Jerusalem. Just as Jesus was baptized in Jordan and changing that water into a holy water, just as he was born in Bethlehem and making that spot sacred, so too Etchmiadzin is a sacred spot. And every person should go there, has to complete a pilgrimage to that holy city. But if you ever get a chance to go there, what's striking about the monastery that sits there, the monastery of Holy Etchmiadzin, is that there are two smaller monasteries on both sides of it. One is dedicated to the Saint Haripsima and the other one to the Saint Gayane. Each of these saints are very special to our faith, not because of these monuments, but because of the story that they had. The incredible story of being able to stick to principles, to rely on faith, and believe that life is more than all that we see and feel and touch. Let me share with you this story. Now think about this as you're listening to the story. Think about many of the difficulties that you're engaged in every single day and how these stories can inspire us to really rise to the occasion. According to the historian Agathangelus, there was a Roman emperor named Diocletianus who wanted to marry the prettiest girl in the country. Well, what emperor wouldn't, right? And he was just like every other emperor, wanted the prettiest one. And he found the prettiest one named Haripsime. She happened to be married to a convent. She happened to have given her life to Christ. And Gayane was in this convent as the mother superior. So she was directly in charge of Haripsime. When the sisterhood heard that the emperor had made this request to secretly take Haripsime as his bride, they decided to journey and get out of the country. They journeyed from Alexandria to Egypt, to the shores of Lake Van in historic Armenia, where they made a home at Mount Varak. And still feeling unsafe near Varshabad, which is the actual area where Etchmiadzin is, they found a place called Hunsank. Now, Diocletianus sent word to the king in Armenia, who was Dertad. Diocletianus, the emperor, sent word to Dertad and said, "Find me this Haripsime, who's now hanging out in your area, on your turf." Well, what does Dertad do? He finds Haripsime and says, "Wow, holy moly, what a babe. Like, this is who I want right now." And of course, Dertad falls in love with the amazing beauty of Haripsime. What a beautiful story. I mean, you know, you think about like Sleeping Beauty and Snow White. How about making this into one of those Disney cartoons? This is an incredible one too. Well, maybe it'll happen one day. But for right now, let me finish up. So Gayane, the mother superior, supports Haripsime and says, "No way, you're not hanging out with this king. Because this king, even though he's an Armenian king, this king is bad news for you. He's married, he's got a wife, and you cannot deal with this one. And most importantly, you are already committed to this monastery, committed to Christ." Gayane supports Haripsime and encourages her not to trade the joys and pleasures of heaven with the glories of this world. In other words, you can go with King Dertad and have all of the pleasures of this world, but you will not have those beautiful bounties that have been in store for you in heaven from the beginning of time. Gayane is tortured, beaten, and imprisoned with two other sisters because they went against the king's will. Tortured, beaten, and imprisoned. Haripsime escapes and goes near her sisters to the sisterhood. And of course, Dertad, the king, is furious. He sends the soldiers to go and kill Haripsime. And they torture her. They badly break her bones. And eventually, they kill her. Okay, forget the idea about a Disney movie on this one. But you get the idea. She suffered for her beliefs. She suffered for what she believed and knew what was right. The king again becomes furious. The next day he orders Gayane, who is in prison, to be killed. And as a result of this act, Dertad, the king, goes crazy. Whether it's his conscience, whether it's a physical disease, some people have likened his situation to be very much like Cushing's disease. In other words, he starts resembling a pig, his eyes bulge out, and the historians tell us what he's gone through, and just a despicable person receives this despicable punishment of a disease in the world. And you got to remember that many of these stories that we hear have these kind of direct consequences built into them. They're not like today where, you know, reality where the bad guy gets away. No, the bad guy suffers in these stories. But what the details aren't as important as what? As what the message is, the story. As I've told you many times, in Armenian Orthodoxy, we want to not look at facts, but we want to look at truth. These stories may not be all factual. In other words, Cushing's disease or some other kind of disease is the fact. But the truth of it is that he suffered for the decisions that he made. And he goes through life through some very difficult times, and they find out that Gregory, who he had imprisoned also for his beliefs in Christ, was alive in the pit where he was put, which is called Horvirab. And Gregory is ordered out of the pit to heal the king. The king is healed, he accepts Christianity, and Christianity is now brought out as the official religion of the Armenian people in 301. Again, we're look at the story that we're trying to do. There's a lot of stories inside of stories. But what are we looking at? At the faith of Hatshepsut. Because she stood her ground, because she believed in what she believed and did not compromise her principles, everything followed. So the greater good was served, even though at her time she may not have seen it. And I share this with you because in our lives too, sometimes we don't see the greater good. But especially in times of difficulty, in times of suffering, we've got to understand that you've got to stick to your principles. You cannot float around. You cannot trade the joys and pleasures of the heaven. And I'm not talking about just a life to come, but I'm talking about the peace that you understand in your life right now with the glories of this world and of this lifetime. Now you say, this is fine and dandy, there's nobody out there to kill me, I'm not that beautiful, there's no king eyeing me right now, and there's no queen that I'm really interested in, so just leave me be. That certainly is a case to be made. But what I'm talking about is principles, because let's go back to the beginning of what we talked about and what we've been talking about all along. What is the final destination we're all looking for? Isn't it peace? Isn't peace the equilibrium point? Even in science, it tells us that everything seeks its own equilibrium point. You put water into a pan and it will find its equilibrium. It will go through the little holes until it could find an equilibrium point. All states, all gases, all solids, they all look for their equilibrium point. What is the equilibrium point in human life? Isn't that peace? That we have peace in our own souls, in our own conscience, and of course, in the world. Now, you cannot have peace by means of war. Today, right now, what's happening in Darfur is a genocide. We've talked about this many times. Our In Issues Ministries is directly focused on genocide. And many times we come up and we say, well, we need to end it. But the solutions are solutions of war, are solutions of kill 'em. Might is right on who's going to be able to attack who. And it certainly sounds good walking into some place and saying, I'm the big kid on the block, stop your bullying over there, stop picking on those little kids. We're here to bring peace, and that certainly can work for a while. But it's not the permanent solution, is it? You know it, and I know it. Just like in our lives, we could put band-aids on some of our pains, our relationships that have gone sour and is causing us an unpeaceful time in our life. Well, we could put band-aids on them. We could try to cure them, but it doesn't solve the situation, does it? We're looking for that equilibrium, which is peace. Guns, weapons, wars, bombs, these are not going to make it. It's impossible to bring peace with these weapons of war. In fact, it's impossible to bring peace through war. Revolution might be a means, but it won't bring you peace. The only real peace comes with an acceptance of the one law that God has given us, love. And sometimes that love is difficult. It means sacrifice. I mean, wasn't it Jesus who up on the cross said, "I love you," and sacrificed his life? In the same way that Hrebsime and Gayane stuck to their principles and said that our love, our mission to spread that love is more important. That is the kingdom of heaven for which I die. And the wealth and the enjoyment of this world cannot compare to that. And so we come back to full circle, what we talked about earlier, what's going on in Iran, what's going on in Korea, what's going on in your family right now can only be solved ultimately with this weapon that we do have, which is called love. And you say, how do you do that? Well, that's all good, right? It sounds good. It's sort of pie in the sky. It's sort of in a romantic idea. Let's go out there and love each other. But I'll tell you how you can do it. It begins love. The foundation for love is respect. Aha! There's a new name. There's a new word we've thrown in there. Respect. What do you think In His Shoes is all about? It's to cultivate that respect. To walk in the shoes of someone else means you start respecting that individual. You realize that he doesn't look like you. He doesn't sound like you. He doesn't smell like you. But that's the reason you put your foot inside of his shoe and walk a mile. You walk 2 miles. You walk his life in his shoes. And you start respecting that person. And in the same way, we need to break down these barriers by having that respect, by walking in the shoes of someone else. Imagine, we cannot understand what the Koreans are going through. They talk about bombing and nuclear weapons. Isn't that like the baby on the block? He wants attention, right? What does he do? He can't talk in other languages. So he starts throwing a fit, a tantrum. And all of a sudden, everybody quiets down and focuses in on that baby. The baby's got our attention. Why? Because he has no other way. He has no other way to communicate with us. He wants our attention, and he wants it right now. In the same way, these small countries, they're looking for attention on the global scale. And what do? We say, oh, they're making noise. And instead of acknowledging them and saying that we need to sit and maybe spend some time with them, we fear them. The fear of the unknown. Same thing in Iran, same thing in your life. When you look at people and you fear them, you realize that you've lost that battle already. That there will always be conflict. There will always be war. You will not be able to move beyond that. But when you can move that fear to one side by respecting that individual, walking in his shoes, understanding that individual, you start respecting him. And by respecting him, you can open avenues to share love, to work with that person. And I challenge you this week to really look at the relationships in your lives. Look at the Irans, look at the Koreans, in your life. And realize that these are just people out there, no different than you. These are people out there that need expressions, that want to find a way of communicating with you, but are unable to. They can't. So you make the effort. Understand, putting your foot in the shoes of someone else, in his shoes. Certainly, Hedipsiman Gayana give us the inspiration this week to stand firm to our principles. It is so easy. Trust me, I know what I'm talking about. It is very easy to give up your principles, to say that it doesn't matter, to say that, you know what, it's easier to do it that way. Hedipsiman Gayana took the rough road because it wasn't easier. That's not the only reason, but because it was right. You know what is right in your heart, and you know that that right begins with expressions of love, of understanding, respect, all the things that we talk about here. I challenge you this week, really, take a look at it. Take a look in your life, take a look at what's going on in the world, and be able to put aside those difficulties. And if each of us can do that, we start doing that, just imagine, we can snowball, we can affect other people, so that eventually we can find that peace, built not on weapons, but built on love. And it's on that note that we bring an end to this week's podcast. And again, I want to welcome everybody who joined us this week for the first time and invite you to our website, epostle.net. Epostle, it's apostle with an E, because it's apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. Where else? Epostle.net. You find not only this podcast, but every other podcast we've ever conceived of or thought of or produced. They're all up there. So join us over there. And it's a great place to leave some feedback too. feedback@epostle.net. Of course, our big website, inhisshoes.org, is the place that you find not only links to Epostle, but also links to our most important adventures and events. Right now, we're following the crew that's out in Darfur, out at the Chad refugee camp. Gabriel and his crew, the Stop Genocide Now .org website is a great place to follow along. And of course, on Twitter, we're on Twitter. You could follow us in his shoes on the Twitter network and see all of the kind of little messages that we leave to each other and to you. Of course, it's a great place also to leave some donation. This is my little pitch right now, because all these things do take money. If you feel like leaving a donation, you could go to inhisshoes.org. Press on the donate button and be generous, because it is our way of moving this ministry forward, and it's your way of participating in it. Hey, whether you leave us some feedback, whether you leave us a donation, the most important thing I ask for is your prayers. So go ahead and forward this podcast to your friends and family, and forward a prayer up to heaven, asking for God's blessings upon everyone who makes this a possibility, and a blessing back to you, the listeners. For all of you, give us the strength and the encouragement to go on. Hey, for all the wonderful people who put this together, for Ani with her bubbles, for Susie, our producer, and for Ken up in the booth, this is Father Voskin, inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
We trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week.